now to Isaiah. Let's pray as we begin. Loving Lord, thank you for these ancient words handed down to us. Please help us to understand what we can learn from them today and take forward into our lives. Isaiah, as I'll remind you of the passage as we go through, it raises this question. What has God given you? What has God given you? I bet it's quite a long list if you spend time thinking about it. But it's the sort of question that comes out of this passage. Let me explain. Isaiah, in our little passage, you will have noticed, is talking in the first person. This is what has happened to me, this is what I have done, and so on. But he's not really speaking in his own first person. He's taking the role of someone else. And the person he's speaking for, this has happened to me, is the servant who pops up several times in his book. The servant is speaking, not Isaiah himself. And you will know that the really well-known fourth servant song, so-called, it's the one that Handel majored on in the Messiah. God has laid on the servant the iniquity of us all, and so on. That's the servant that's happened to. And by that time, by the time we get to the fourth servant song, it's clear that the servant is Jesus, or at least a major prefiguring of Jesus at any rate. And the same is true here. Our little passage is really about Jesus. You can almost say it's him. It's the servant speaking. And it is, in large part at least, about what Jesus has been given or will be given by God, the one who we now know as his Heavenly Father. So it's about Jesus in that sense. But I ask my question about what God has given you, because Jesus acknowledges what he's been given by God the Father in a way that we can helpfully do so as well. And in all the things that we list as being given to us by God, if we ponder the question and think about it, I suspect that we don't really factor in as strong as we should the things that Jesus says, these things have been given to me, this is what's going to sustain me as I go through my trials. There is a caveat here. Part of what the servant says to us in the Isaiah passage is, I have not been rebellious, I have not turned away. And then he goes on to acknowledge what he's been given. Well, maybe part of our rebellion, part of our turning away, is actually that we don't acknowledge the things that God has given us, and we don't live accordingly. So there are parallels, useful parallels to us, what have I been given, but also caveats in there. This is Jesus talking, not us. So what has the servant been given, and have we been given it too? There are two major things, and they overlap, two things in this passage. First, the servant says, I've been given the word that sustains the weary. I waken morning by morning. He wakens my ear to listen. He has opened my ears. Servant has been given something to listen to and the means to do so. He and we have been given the word, and not just any old word, but this lovely phrase, the word that sustains the weary. Words from others can be helpful. We know that. The reverse can be true too, of course, but well-placed words from kind friends or even from strangers can be deeply affecting in the moment and going forwards. We know words can help in all sorts of situations. And the servant reminds us that the word of God sustains the weary. I wonder whether we let it sometimes. I wonder whether I let it. Do we read our Bibles? Do we read them with the prayer, Lord, sustain me. Hold me up in my tiredness, in my weariness. Console me with your word, Lord. Keep me going with your word. Well, we should. And we've been given the means to listen. The servant reminds us God has opened our ears and does so afresh every morning. It's a daily thing. That's the first thing. Hear the word of God that sustains us when we're weary. Come to me, says Jesus. All you who are weary will hear that again, that reminder again soon. Same idea. Come to the living word and hear him. His word sustains. Jesus sustains. God the Father sustains. That's the first help that the servant acknowledges. And the help is there for us too. Then there's this. The servant says, the sovereign Lord helps me so I won't be disgraced. I will not be put to shame. No one can bring charges against me or condemn me. In a combative and sometimes difficult world, or in difficult situations at work or at home or in wider families, or indeed in village communities, there's the ever-present danger of disagreement leading to dispute and polarisation, winners and losers, and varying degrees of charges and condemnation. At one level, that's how this is true. Sovereign Lord, help me. At that same sort of level, I have found that I have a great many meetings. It's just life as a barrister, life as a vicar. A great many meetings with the potential to be difficult, as you can imagine. I'm sure you do too. It's not just a feature of this church or this village, it happens in every institution, every organisation. We go into meetings with our set of conscious and unconscious biases and expectations, and things can go horribly wrong, get heated and unpleasant, and result in bad outcomes and then spin damagingly away. I've been there, I've done that, I've got the t-shirt. I've long since learned, and occasionally managed to put into practice, that you can pray for help before such meetings, or you can pray for forgiveness afterwards. That's the choice. Sovereign Lord, help me. Help me with this meeting. Help me with this relationship. Help me with the neighbours. Help me with family. Help me with friends. Help me to listen well. Help me to walk in other people's shoes. Help me to cope with whatever difficulties life is throwing up, whatever accusations are being made. I think we can read it in that sense. Of course, there's the deeper, further-reaching sense of charges and condemnation not being laid in the ultimate court, the court of God, when we come before Christ at the end of time. Jesus was going through earthly stuff as well. And he was saying, Lord, help me. I know I have your help. No charges will stick. No condemnation can take effect. The servant remained true, much truer to God the Father than we shall ever be. But if our desire is to follow Christ, the servant king, this is the servant, we can do worse than pay attention to his, the servant's, reliance on God. Reliance on the word that sustains the weary, listening afresh every day, and seeking the help of the sovereign Lord in each and every situation. Amen.